ninth game of the second set in bad fashion. Terrific return from Rybakina. So love 15. Now she serves to the forehand. Her plus one's a big forehand straight back at Rybakina, who nets.
Nice tactic there from Svitolina, because it basically handcuffed, and by that it meant that Rybakina didn't have any room to sort of try and swing through that forehand, and the point goes her way. There's a great, interesting match unfolding on court three as well between the Italian Danielle Rabagnetta in the junior boys and Jagger Leach, who is the son of Lindsay Davenport.
Ah. Forehand to forehand cross court here from these two. Now the backhand hit with plenty of power from Svitolina, and Rybakina went across court on her forehand side. She was kind of hoping it was going to catch the corner. It was a late call. It was a correct call. It was out. And Svitolina goes to 30-15. And actually that court three is where I'm going to go a little later, because we have a British junior who made the final of the Australian Open boys doubles at the start of the year, Victor Friedrich, who actually he lived with us because he's a good friend of my son's. He's had a tough time on the singles court recently, and he's got a very tough draw today, but he'll be the second match on that court. Backhand reply now to the backhand of Rybakina, and they replicate each other with this pattern. Cross court on the backhand. Then the angle is changed well by Svitolina. Good defending though from Rybakina, who now plays one of those low forehands and then plays a dry volley. It's a winner. She was trying everything there. More variety. Evidence of what she can do. Just about anything on the court. She wins the point. It's 30 all.
That really was an exceptional volley there from Rybakina, because she was positioned between the service line and the baseline. A high floating one, not quite the traditional drive volley, more a high power punch, but it was very hard to control, and she was able to do that with distinction, but rifles that one back. That was so quick, that return, but long.
Yeah, there was a lot of intent in that. She wanted to get to match point, but instead Svitolina has a game point to then pose a question. Can you serve it out, Elena? Good serve, and the backhand. Surely to goodness that backhand cross court return was out. Svitolina is looking at the mark. She didn't query it. I'd love to see that on the monitor. The return has been called in. The back to juice.
Just looked like it skidded sideways when catching the side of the very side, I think. It might have only just caught the ball, but that drew the error. If it was in by hair of one of those festy strawberries that I've put an end to.
Right. Now Rybakina with a backhand which has been called long initially and overruled, I think quite rightly, by Carter Nune, the umpire, which of course is a blow for Svitolina. But again, I mean, we're on the fifth floor and we're looking at the far end of the court, but it caught the back of the line, and that means a match point. And Svitolina's not complaining at all. She knows it did catch the line, and she wasn't going to be able to get it back, which is why they're not going to replay the point. And now Svitolina has missed her first serve. He's got to summon something very special here. It was a first serve again, fortunately. That previous one clipped the tape. So now it is a second serve. And it's to the backhand, drilled across court to the backhand side of Svitolina. The forehand's long from Rybakina. It's back to juice.
And a look of disbelief on Rybakina's face after she missed that one. It's been working for her, going for her shots. She's been very aggressive, dictating play on that occasion. Not quite enough control. That's unforced error number 23 for the match. But the flip side is she's made 26 winners.
3-5 juice, plus one on the forehand side from Svitolina. She's there again, forehand to forehand now across court. Lots of power and intent from Svitolina. Now she plays a backhand to the backhand side of Rybakina. Good depth from her. She's there again, cross court to that backhand of Svitolina, who looks for the angle but goes wide, looks to the skies, and prepares to face another match point.
Trying to go blow for blow with someone who is slightly stronger from the baseline than that occasion, Svitolina, and as a result, pressed too far. Would have loved to have seen her opt for the change-up. This is match point number two.
First serve into the net. Three bounces of the ball. Svitolina is ready. She serves to the backhand and plays a forehand that's gone wide and long. And that means that Elena Rybakina goes through to the quarterfinals at Roland Garros for only the second time. An hour and 9 minutes on the clock. Svitolina threatened to fight back in that second set. It didn't materialise. And the more you watch the player from Kazakhstan, the 2022 Wimbledon champion, the more you can see her as a potential Roland Garros winner. Courtney.
If the weather stays like it is today, calm, blue skies, the ball will start to fly through the court a little quicker. And I think that will really suit her. She played superbly today. Tested for a little period in the first set, some inconsistency in terms of holding serves and then dropping serves, not quite able to convert, move ahead as Elena Svitolina. They did shake hands at the end of the match, and Elena Svitolina, who had periods in that match where she played well but not quite able to match the weapons of her rival, walks from the court. Another good Roland Garros for her, but against a rival in the form that Rybakina is in, just too good today. I love the touch that she used as well, Marcus. We saw early on the ability to change things up by throwing in the drop shot. Her talent when she came forward to the net, some of her volleys, the reach is fantastic. So she's got a great all-round game, and that was an impressive effort.
Yeah. Well, she'll play either Alina Avanesyan or Jasmine Paolini next, but she's now going to talk to Fabrice Santoro.
Elena, congratulations for your win. You know Elena, she's a great player with a great experience. But today was another comfortable win without losing a set.
Yeah, really happy with the performance. And Elena, she's a tough opponent. We played a couple of times and she's a great fighter. And it's always difficult matches against her. But I'm really happy the way I played today and the way I served also.
Elena, I do many of your matches in the last few months, few years on TV, and it's always amazing the way you hit the ball. Let's talk about your timing. Did you ever have this timing, the way you can generate power?
Well, we work a lot with the team and we're trying to always adjust a bit the technique. And of course, on clay, it's a little bit more complicated for me with the movements since I'm tall, but overall, we're doing a good job, and I'm really proud the way I improved in the last few years.
Last question. You talk about the movement on clay, but also the speed can be different from one day to the other. Now the sun is finally back in Paris. I guess it's pretty good for your game.
Yeah, it's nice to have good weather finally and play without the roof. The ball is flying a little bit more, but I think everybody enjoys good weather. So thank you so much, guys, for coming and supporting us.
Wonderful. Once again, congratulations, Elena, and we wish you the best for your quarterfinal. Mesdames et messieurs, Elena Rybakina.
Yep, she's certainly looking the part. Fabrice is hearing off court. Elena's now going to sign a few autographs. As I mentioned, she'll play either Alina Avanesyan or Jasmine Paolini next. There's a sea change in that one. Avanesyan won the first set by 6-4, having won the first four games of it. But Paolini leads by 3-0 in the second, and Avanesyan serving at love 3, love 30. So we'll head across to Longlen in just a moment. Joe Salisbury and Rajiv Ram have won against Grégoire Barrère and Luca Puy, and on Simone Mathieu next, it's going to be Coco Gauff and Katerina Siniakova who have Czech opposition. And of course, Gauff, what year was it that she got to the final of both singles and the doubles here? A couple of years ago, I think it was, and had that miserable weekend. Remember her in tears after she lost both finals, but she continues to improve day by day. What an accomplished performer she is. On the fruit front, we're getting inundated with suggestions, Courtney.
Well, firstly, a clarification or an explanation. So Vic has written again from Scotland to say it's Cran-a-Can. It's fresh cream, fresh raspberries, toasted oats and whiskey incorporated somewhere in there. Sometimes whipped into the cream, used to soak the oats or just thrown in. Tastes good whatever way it's in there. That's the Scottish delicacy. And we had another listener from Scotland, Sarah from Edinburgh, writing to say Cran-a-Can is a raspberry cream, oat, whiskey and honey, which sounds quite tasty to me.
It does.
Favourite is strawberry. Had some fresh off the farm in Fife yesterday. So that's really the strawberries getting some votes as well.
We've also, just moving away from the fruit a moment, as we head across to Court Suzanne Longland, where Jasmine Paolini has held to now lead 4-love in the second set. I don't know if you were listening a few days ago, Courtney. We had information that Noddy Holder, who is famous and always will be for one of the great Christmas songs from the band Slade, are they well known in Australia?
Slade, I'm aware of. I may not have been able to know. May not have been able to name Noddy as the person.
Okay. But the song, well, here it is, Merry Christmas. I got into a lot of trouble for singing that. Anyway, John in Sweden told us a few days ago that Noddy Holder had also become the West Midlands Junior Schoolboys Champion. Now, I think he said in 1967, which then prompted somebody else to get in touch and say if that's the case, he was the oldest ever schoolboy at the age of 21. However, and of course at that stage I'm thinking John's pulling our leg, John has now written in today with an extract from Noddy's best-selling autobiography, Come On, Feel the Noise, in which he writes, "Actually, as a nipper, I didn't really like sports, but I had a best mate in my class at school, Trevor Reckin, whose posh parents were members of the local tennis club. One boiling hot summer, they took me there and I started playing. Every day for hours and hours, couldn't get enough of it. I took to it like a duck to water. I loved it. I started winning and winning every single match I played. And then in 1957, so there's the significance, not 67, believe it or not, I won the West Midlands Junior Schoolboy Championship in Hales Owen and was presented with a massive silver trophy. From that day on, my whole life changed. I won loads more cups, made a nice bit of extra pocket money, bought myself a beautiful Buddy Holly guitar, and the best bit, I suddenly had loads of cracking-looking wenches, so-called tennis groupies, chasing me and screaming after me whenever I played. The aphrodisiac of power and fame, I suppose." So, John has he's come up trumps. It was little Noddy Holder, age 10, from the back streets of Wolverhampton in the Black Country, becoming a blooming local tennis superstar.
That is a wonderful extract as well, and being chased around by young ladies at the age of 10 is good going as well, I must say. How about that? What a wonderful note that is. We have had a couple of other people writing. Lisa, by the way, is looking forward to Daniil. She loves the way he speaks on court and Medvedev. We have quite a few tweets to get through. Woody: "Hi, Courtney. Hi, Marcus. Listening from a cloudy, dull and miserable east of England."
Oh, that sun didn't last long over there.
"Favourite fruit is strawberries. Proper full-size strawberries."
Okay, point taken, yeah.
Max, the regular statistician.
The Earl of Barnes, yeah.
Has posed a question about the five players with two words in the surname to reach a Grand Slam quarterfinal since 2019. Or have two or more words in their surname. We'll get to that, Max, but he's written to say he does eat fruit in fruit cake.
Oh, that doesn't count, Max.
Doesn't quite count. Ryan from Sydney, evening team, 8:10 p.m. In the harbour city of Australia, Sydney, for the fruit that wins. How about having it dipped in chocolate? Of course, it goes nice with chocolate.
That sort of ruins your attempt at being healthy, though, doesn't it?
Now, Sophie, meanwhile, has been courtside, our esteemed colleague, loving this weather and a chance to finally watch a bit of tennis from the stands. It's looking a bit like au revoir from my pick on Chatrier, and au revoir it proved.
She's lost half her fee.
She said she was enjoying the poise coverage right now. Thank you so much, Sophie. Great to have you listening in. I did enjoy Sophie a couple of days ago. Had Marcus in all manner of, I suppose, fuss after she played a great practical joke, stole his phone.
Oh, yeah, she thinks she's a comedian, old Sophie. Yeah, she stole it in the canteen and I was heading off. She said, contact me when you get home. I'm thinking, all right. Yes, yes, text me when you get home. What's all this about? And then I still didn't bite. And she goes, but you may have trouble because I've got your phone. Cute hysterics. Thank you, Sophie. Don't get sunburn out there.
She is listening and she does now reporting from courtside on Susan Longlon. A big turnaround as Paolini making way too many unforced errors in the first set, now finding their marks more consistently and hitting more winners. It might be a long day out there, she reports. Thank you, Sophie, for that. Great to see you getting some live tennis as well. Plenty of emails as well before we perhaps cross over to that court with Paolini. 5-love up in the second set. Richard Leitch has written again after sending that horrific-looking tomato through to say rambutans from his farm in Thailand.
Oh, my goodness. They look lethal. Looks like a jellyfish gone wrong.
Now Christine has written again to ask if Dimonor has found his super fame. And that's a good question. That was one that I was meaning to check yesterday, Christine. And in doing that, I'm about to send a member of ours, Simon Camber's, Dimonor's agent's number, so that he can actually do that. That was something I should have done previously.
You're just too busy, Courtney. Jasmine Paolini, 5-love up. We'll join the action here. I have just had a text, though, from my wife, Olivia. I mentioned Victor Friedrich, the British junior. We got to the final of the Australian Open doubles and he's due on court 3-second match. And apparently he was sick all last night, had no sleep. Oh, that is so unfortunate. We'll see whether he can get on court. He's, as I say, he's due on after the match currently being played there involving Jagger Leach, who you were telling us about, and Daniel Rapanetti, who's won the first set there by 7-5 in a tiebreak. That is terrible timing. You know, you're in a junior slam and you get sick the night before. So obviously we'll update you as to whether Vic can play and if he can, whether he can summon the energy to at least put up a battle. But right now, a very different battle between Avanesyan and Paolini to the one the crowd was seeing in the first set. Avanesyan winning the first four games, winning the set 6-4, but now she's love 5 and love 30. All in yellow with a knee brace protecting her right knee. Playing the off forehand to the backhand side of Paolini, who's looking to come in, then goes back, goes cross court to the slice backhand, and there's going to be a volley that's put away, sliced away on the backhand side by the diminutive but now extremely confident Italian.
She's had such a wonderful season, Marcus, on clay. But more broadly, she's had a great season to be able to lift her ranking up to where it is at the moment, the number 12 seed, showing us in this second set just why she's been such a good player, but also rallying after that slow start, dropping the first four games to press her rival in the latter stages, perhaps create some uncertainty in her mind and being able to work into this second set very nicely.
Good deep return from Paolini. It forces the error off the plus one from Avanesyan. And so we're going to a decider here on Longlen. A very one-sided second set. 1-6-love by Jasmine Paolini after an hour and 23 minutes. Coming shortly on Philippe Chatrier, we have Emma Navarro, of whom I have to say I'm a big fan, against Aryna Sabalenka, of whom I've been a big fan for a very long time. That could be a fantastic match to watch. Here's a question for you, Courtney. Posed actually by my wife Olivia, you know, on the subject of poor old Vic as Avanesyan goes off court, so there's going to be a delay. So you're a junior, you've come to a slam, you're in the top 20 in the world, you've been sick all night, you've had about 1 hour's sleep. Do you go out and play? I mean, do you give yourself a fighting chance? It's a difficult one, isn't it?
Look, it really is. It's one that I would go for, though, I must say. I think that you have to learn how to play in terms of all manner of situations in your career. And if you're good enough to travel professionally, you're going to have moments where you're feeling fatigued, deprived of energy. Even ill, I'd try and give myself a chance if I could.
Well, I shall report back as to whether he does. And if maybe he could just find some sort of inspiration. Feels that, you know, I'm relaxed here, I haven't really got a chance. And go out and produce your best form. Players are being introduced, as you can hear, on Chatrier. First of all, it is Emma Navarro of the United States, 23 years of age. Come on in leaps and bounds over the past 12 months or so. Very bright, intelligent, inventive player. And now coming up that steep staircase, the woman who has shown so much consistency at Grand Slam level, particularly down under.
She is a phenomenal athlete, Marcus. Her power is superb. Much like what we saw with Rybakina in the last match, she's also very, very adept at the net. She plays with slightly more shape than the Kazakh star who just defeated Alina Svitolina by shape. I mean, her topspin that she's capable of, she has more arc on it. But what has really, I suppose, seen her take the next step in the last couple of years is the subtlety that she's added to her game. She can find beautiful, acute angles when needed, doesn't go full throttle all of the time. And her serve, which she had such concerns with a couple of years ago with the ball toss, was able to find a solution to that, and it's become arguably the world's best again once now in the women's ranks.
Well, I mentioned this is their second meeting. The other one came in Indian Wells this year, which Navarro won. Sabalenka is 7-1 against American opposition, so that was the little blip. Having a photographs taken at the net. Alison Hughes, the umpire, is now coming down and making sure that the two young ball boys, well, they're not ball boys, they're mascots, aren't they? Who, one of them tosses the coin, they're positioned correctly. I don't know whether Alison's got a microphone on properly. I can't really hear her, which is normally the case. She's busy explaining to the little fella what he's got to do with the coin. He's dropped it on the floor. Somebody's won the coin toss. This makes for great radio. Alison, your microphone's not working. But we'll find out in due course who is going to serve first. Sabalenka undefeated in 2024 on clay by players out ranked outside the top 10. Her only losses, well, and they're not surprising, coming to Iga Świątek in the finals of Rome and Madrid. And my goodness me, what a rivalry those two are developing. She also lost to Marketa Vondrousova in the Stuttgart quarterfinal. But her consistency, particularly at slam level now, Courtney, is, well, it's reflective of a player who's ranked at two in the world.
It is. She is also reflective of a player who is comfortable on all surfaces. No matter the situation in matches, no matter the situation, whether it's indoors or outdoors, the talent of her rival, the different challenges that she's posed. So she's become an outstanding player. One that I love watching. She was close again last year in the other slams. Didn't quite get it done, but bouncing back with such authority in Australia earlier in the year. I think if there is to be a challenger to the world number one, not surprisingly, it's probably going to be the world number two. And she's shown that she's more than capable of those two finals they played recently. I'm not sure if you caught the Madrid one, but yep, it was an absolute ripper of mine. So, again, similarly to Rybakina, if it's warmer and hotter this week and the clay courts start to liven up, I believe that it really will favour her and she's more advantage in these conditions than perhaps Świątek.
And I'm also thinking that Sabalenka has come back to Paris with memories. I mean, hopefully they're parts at the back of her mind, but memories of what happened in the semi-final last year against Karolina Muchova, a match really she should have won and let slip. So she must feel, yeah, I just need to make sure I make amends for that.
And no doubt, and there was a couple, I mean, that happened a couple of times when she got to the last four in Grand Slams last year. It does strike me that when she was able to get to Melbourne, she banished those demons in terms of, I suppose, back at a venue where she was really comfortable with. But perhaps they flare again if there's some pressure. Her rival has been such a revelation for mine. You know, really continued to rise. She's played a lot. She's gone back and played 125s, which is the lowest tier, I suppose, of the WTA Tour. She is competitive, coming through that college background that produces so many good players as well, Marcus. It's she's become, a real player to watch, and her consistency has been very good as well.
Vishal's been back in touch, confirming tomatoes are fruit. It's the only fruit which can be eaten with veggies like cucumber, radish, I think, maybe, etc. All other fruits shouldn't be eaten with bread or other grains. They should be consumed on empty stomachs for best benefits. Vishal, obviously, he's good when it comes to the health tips. Thank you very much for that. I tell you what we'll do, just while they're warming up here, Stefan, and it'll be 2 or 3 minutes yet before this match gets underway, let's just dip back into Suzanne Longlen and see if Alina Avanesyan can at least steady the ship, having lost that second set by 6 games to love to Jasmine Paolini. Interestingly, Courtney, Paolini is serving at the start of the third, and she's promptly found herself at love 40.
So perhaps just a momentary lapse of concentration.
Backhand, oh, a looping backhand return from Avanesyan, and Paolini misses it, and she's sort of smiling to herself. She's been broken to love. Bizarre point, bizarre start to the deciding set.
Quite a rueful smile on her face after that one. It was interesting. I was looking at the match scores in comparison to the feature match on court, Philippe Chatrier, and the score line for the first set, 6-4, similar. Second set, 6-3, and yet the power hitting that we saw from Rybakina, the rapid points, meant that one was over in about an hour and a quarter. And at that stage, Paolini and Avanesyan were in the infancy of the second set. It was just, a demonstration that two different matches being played, different styles, and this one was going to be a more defensive match out there, a lot more what we just saw in the last point. High off-pace balls, changes of pace. Paolini not having the stature, so therefore, a more traditional, I suppose, clay courter in terms of her movement, defensive skills.
Well, the first point of the second game of this deciding set goes the way of Paolini. Avanesyan hammering a backhand long. Lovely email from Barbara, who's in Wisconsin, where it's currently 60 degrees. On the subject of fruits, I could give you several, but ever since I was a child, I've always liked grapes, especially seedless ones. And she says, I've been listening every day. This is my first email this year. I have corresponded with you before. I'm totally blind as Avanesyan goes to love 30. Always appreciate radio over TV in any sport. Keep up the good work. Blessings from Barbara. Barbara, we're so pleased to have you listening in to us. And long may that continue. And another vote goes to grapes. It's going to be a competitive battle, I'm sure, this to find out our favourite fruit. I just hope it's not too exotic. Otherwise, I'll have to get Stefan to comb Paris to find the right fruit to bring in tomorrow morning. Drop shot. And it works for Avanesyan, because the drop shot from Paolini is straight into the net on the forehand side. 15-30.
Spencer has written in to say he was upset about my attack on the... Well, I didn't hear about the attack on the strawberries this morning, but...
Brutal. Ruthless. I mean, the disgraceful scenes in here, Courtney.
But Gigi's obsession with the size of the strawberries from Marcus, he generously gave her borderline pathological.
I'd agree. I have been in touch again, both with the European Court of Human Rights and the European Court of Human Fruit, on behalf of both me and the strawberry in question. So that matter will continue.
Describes it as an utterly unwarranted onslaught.
Yeah, I totally agree. This who's this good fella?
Spencer, he does say that I was there and might have stood up for the unjustly, cruelly maligned strawberry. To be fair, didn't join forces with the Empress. Didn't give her the support she so desperately sought. Probably wise, you could have been beheaded.
Paolini has broken back in this curious match. So 1-1 in the deciding set. They're underway in front of us on Chatrier, and Arina Sabalenka has broken Emma Navarro straight away. So I think probably at this stage we'll head back to Chatrier, but we know that all sorts of strange things are happening in that match on Longlen, and we'll keep you right up to date and maybe head back across for the closing stages. But Sabalenka has made her intent pretty clear early on here.
Yeah, we saw a demonstration of what's made her such a formidable competitor in that game. The second point, a beautifully executed backhand drop shot that had Navarro scrambling, a couple of other impressive ground strokes, and a good, sharp break of serve within 2 minutes to get on the board from the world number two.
Jodie has got in touch on the subject of whether if you're ill, you should get out of bed and get on court. This is in reference to Victor Friedrich, the British junior, who's been sick all night, got 1 hour sleep, and is due to be the next match on court three. And that's imminent because Daniel Rapanetti of Italy has just beaten Jagger Leach 7-6, 6-1. So Victor, if he's going to play, will be on court in just a few moments' time. Jodie says, for me, it would depend on the illness. I don't think it's fair to put others at risk by playing if you've got a sickness you could pass on to them. And while we're not super close on a court, I'm handing balls that my opponent then handles. We pass them around the net, etc. You know, ball boys and ball girls get involved. And she adds, there was a Grand Slam recently when sickness ended the prospects of several players. So, of course, that is a factor you've got to bear in mind. She's also gone for grapes in terms of her fruit vote. Thank you for getting in touch, Jodie. Here's Sabalenka, one love, 15 love. And now she's playing a plus one on the forehand side down the middle of the court to the backhand of Navarro. And then a slice backhand from Sabalenka, little surprisingly, goes into the net.
Changed her mind, I think, at the last moment when she was, shaping to try and hit the double-handed backhand, the topspin backhand, and then at the last moment just thought better of it. And thinking better of it on that occasion proved worse for her. Narendran has written to say mangoes, jackfruits and bananas are known as the only three main fruits. It's the three main fruits in my native tongue, Tamil. Oh, beautiful serve out wide there from Sabalenka.
Wow.
Just whipped away, sliced away.
Yeah.
159 kilometres an hour to move to 30-15.
I mean, wonderful. Of course, she's capable of brute force, but that was subtle and mighty effective. So one love, 30-15. She serves now to the backhand of Navarro. That jumped up at the American, who's playing a backhand cross court, the double-hander from Sabalenka. Now she's going on to her forehand. She's striking that with venom, and it's not coming back.
That was a superb finish to that point. She's, Navarro is scrambling to try and get herself into this match. She's won one of the first 7 points. Sabalenka breaking to love. And in a very strong position already in this service game. The lightning start.
Yeah. Scary if you're playing against her, I would suggest. Misses her first serve. Ball girl, races right across the court, picks up the ball, then goes to the back of the court. Takes up her position, and Sabalenka is ready for the second serve to the forehand of Navarro, who stepped in, and she's very good at doing that. And now she plays an off forehand to the backhand side of Sabalenka. Forehand to forehand. Now a stretch backhand from Navarro, and the drive volley's a winner for Sabalenka. She holds to 15 and opens up a two-love lead.
This is an onslaught so far. Absolutely dialed in, and some brilliant tennis. Perhaps she was inspired by what she saw from a couple of her chief rivals yesterday and is determined to get the business done quickly. Navarro is a woman with impressive resistance, and she's found ways to win matches many times this year, including, as you said, against Sabalenka at Indian Wells. Time for her to try and get a toehold in this match.
Paolini's held on, so they're sitting down. On serve, Avanesyan at 1-2 in the deciding set on Suzanne Longlen. As Navarro picks up the first point of the third game here, Dan's been in touch. He's got two fruits. You can only have one, I'm afraid. I'm very strict about that. He's gone cherries and passion fruit. Well, you wrote cherries first, so another vote for the cherry. Also says, I have Cerundolo and De Minaur in my fantasy league picks for today. Who do you reckon has a better shot of an upset?
It's a really good question. I must say that certain, odds makers, I had a look at what they did, and I thought that Djokovic was way too heavily favoured given what he went through a couple of nights ago. He played brilliantly and finished so superbly, but to be finishing at 3 o'clock, to probably in bed by 6 a.m., he's had a day rest, but it's a lot to come back. I think he still wins, but it's going to be a test. Sorondolo was such a wonderful clay court player. I probably think Dimonor, given the head-to-head, is a greater chance over the last four. It's obviously a difficult test playing Medvedev on any surface, but clay is not his strongest. He's trying to make the quarterfinals here for the second time. He has won a clay court Masters title in Rome last year, so he can certainly play on it. But I think Dimonor is probably the stronger upset selection.
Well, Navarro won 3 points in a row at the start of this third game of the first set. Sabalenka's just come up with a crunching return to get it back to 40-15, but still a chance for the American to register her first game here in the bright sunshine on the second Monday of Roland Garros 2024. Forehand down the line from Navarro. She's now going to play a loopy forehand that goes long. Being given so little time to settle and decide what to do because of the inordinate power coming off the Belarusian's racket.
She really is seeing the ball like a watermelon this morning.
Oh, watermelon? No, I haven't had a vote for one of them yet. Come on, melon fans, get in touch with us. Gooseberries have got a shout out from Richard. First serve into the net. Navarro does not want to feel like a gooseberry out on court today. She needs to be fully involved. Another huge forehand return from Sabalenka. The forehand cross court from Navarro. Flat forehand from Sabalenka. Now she's crunching a backhand, and the slice on the backhand side from Navarro's into the net. And from 40 love, she's been pegged back to juice.
Lovely baseline ball striking there from Sabalenka again. Stefan's just down gathering more evidence for the criminal investigation underway into the decimation of the strawberries morning.
There are still some strawberry stains down there that the Soco teams will have to come and have a look at, the scene of crime officers. Now, short ball again for Sabalenka. Well, she crunches it onto the top of the tape. It's so powerful, of course, that it dribbles over for her point. She says sorry, but she's got a point now for a double break after just 9 minutes.
I mean, not fortune only favours the brave, Marcus. She was going for that one, but on that occasion, just a real stroke of luck.
Can I point out that not only have you destroyed the back of the box because of the stains, as Navarro plays a forehand cross court to the forehand side of Sabalenka, and she goes wide with her cross court forehand, but you appear to have done some technical damage as well, because Stefan is now having to unplug different things. I mean, Courtney, I hate to say it, but you're a walking disaster, man.
A menace.
You are.
A proper technological menace. Farcical scenes here on Radio Roland Garros.
Meanwhile, the commentary continues. Nothing will stop the commentary until the last shot has been played in the last match on Philippe Chatrier next Sunday afternoon. This time, the tape doesn't come to Sabalenka's rescue. It deviates the ball just wide, and Navarro's got another chance to get her name on the board. Jasmine Paolini in control, now leading by 3-1, serving at 3-1, 15-all against Alina Avanesyan. It looks very much as though the 12th seed from Italy is going to book her place in the quarterfinals, where she will play Elena Rybakina after her straight sets win against Alina Svitolina earlier. Second serve for Navarro to the backhand of Sabalenka. Deep return, down on one knee. Navarro gets that ball back into play. Now she's slicing on a backhand. The forehand drop shot from Sabalenka. Navarro gets to it, but there is Sabalenka coming forward behind her drop shot to put away the volley.
And so still Navarro searching for this opening game. Well, sorry, not the opening game of the match, more to the point, her first game for the match, having dropped the first two. At least winning some points on her serve now, but she'd love to get a service hold.
Oh, she would, just to settle the nerves to ensure she doesn't go the way of Anastasia Potapova yesterday, around about this time yesterday, when she lost Love and Love in 40 minutes. And we found out afterwards that back when she and Iga Świątek were youngsters, Potapova always beat her. Backhand return now, off return from Sabalenka, and the plus one from Navarro drops into the net. It's another opportunity for Sabalenka to put even more pressure on the 23-year-old American. Max tells us if Sabalenka wins, it'll be the eighth time in the Open era that all the women's top five seeds have reached the quarterfinals at Roland Garros. It'll be the first time since 2013, only the second time since 1993. Return is just wide from Sabalenka.
So this game continues, but she's been very aggressive on the backhand wing on return. She brought up the game point with a really crisply struck backhand, off backhand, that had Navarro stretching on that occasion. A wider swing, just missed going the other way.
Looking to serve out wide to the Sabalenka forehand. I note that on court three, Kellen Biggin and Victor Friedrich have been called, so it looks as though the sick Brit is going to play. And there's another really menacing, fast return from Sabalenka. It rushes Navarro into the error. And it's, I think, break point number four in this game. Sabalenka, of course, having already broken in the opening game of the contest. Three bounces of the ball. Navarro now serves, clips the top of the tape. The ball lands inside the box, so she'll get another first serve. She's wearing a green outfit to which we've become accustomed over the past few days. Sabalenka's blends into the clay. First serve, backhand return again, deep to the feet of the server. Wind up forehand from Sabalenka. High defensive ball is put up from Navarro. Sabalenka waits for it to bounce, then goes cross-court on her forehand. Now she then, well, she looks to go cross-court on her backhand, but she doesn't get that one right. And Sabalenka nets.
And so just a couple of errors in this game. She's really pressing. She's hit seven winners, five unforced errors so far from Sabalenka. As a measure of how much Navarro has been pressured. Six forced errors. Sabalenka's really upping the pace. And she's, you know, it's not so much she's making errors herself, Navarro. She's just being forced into positions where it's difficult to make shots.
Double fault. Another break point. Jodie's come back. Not a big fan of Sabalenka's game. She says, for the most part, apart from the occasional drop shot, it's literally, I'm going to just hit the ball as hard as I can over and over. But you're shaking your head at that.
No, I think that's not correct. She certainly has amazing power, no doubt. But if you've watched her play, and particularly on the hard courts in Melbourne, which I've had the great fortune and spoken to some friends, is
as Navarro goes long with her plus one, and she is broken again. She trails 3-love after 14 minutes. Sorry, Courtney.
And spoken to some colleagues who have been in the game for a long time in terms of coaches and players, etc. And they say that her subtlety, the ability to, you know, to find angles, the touch, is actually outstanding. You know, and we see that in her play. She finds acute angles. Yes, she can blast when she needs to. And in this match, she's just, the opportunity is there to really pressure her opponent, who hasn't been able to find, I suppose, the range to keep her deep in the court. But when needed, she has got the craft and the control. She can use the angles. She can deploy touch. I think she's a far...
Radio Roland Garros.
Game, set and match.
Radio Roland Garros will be with you every morning from 11 a.m. local time, broadcasting live from Paris, bringing you ball-by-ball commentary, exclusive interviews and all the very latest news.
Live on radio.
Roland Garros.
Roland Garros.
It applied then just being a blaster from the baseline.
Lady Eleanor has arrived. I'm going to have to pass on to her my spreadsheet. It's a very impressive spreadsheet, this, isn't it, Courtney?
Oh, it's exceptional. And thankfully, Stefan came to the rescue after pens went missing, strawberries have been spilt. It's been
a bloodbath in here, quite frankly.
I'm not so sure how Marcus has actually managed to see through the shift, given the mayhem that's unfolded.
The Dan Maskell Tennis Trust's been in touch. Their vote's going to cherries. We're asking you, wherever you are in the world today, just to give us your favourite fruit. It can be a very quick answer, but we are compiling, by the end of the day, a definitive list of your favourite fruits, and whichever one comes out on top will be brought into the commentary box tomorrow as Sabalenka comes up with another blistering forehand cross-court winner to win the first point of the fourth game. At the moment, I mean, it's a little disappointing in a way. Strawberries are winning, narrowly from cherries right now. I'm hoping for something more exotic, but not too exotic. And Jasmine Paolini is about to win. She is now 5-1 up against Alina Avanesyan, having lost the first set 6-4, but won the second 6-love. Return from Navarro goes long. It's 3-love, 30-love, and I don't wish to be negative at this stage, but do we start to wonder whether Sabalenka can win in an even quicker time than Świątek yesterday? 16 minutes played so far.
She'd have to up her speed a little bit, but she's been very impressive.
Serving now to the backhand of Navarro, who gets a return into play. High defensive ball from Sabalenka. Navarro plays the off forehand, sliced back into play down the middle of the court by Sabalenka. And Navarro cleverly sees which way Arina Sabalenka is going and sends the ball in the opposite direction to get on the board in this game. At 3-love, 30-15.
And just as Lady Eleanor makes her way in, just to update her, I referenced Andy Murray and his distaste for bananas early on, and it's sparked an outpouring of emotion when it comes to fruit. Jan wanted to know what it was about. So yes, Banana Gate effectively was Andy Murray's description in his 2008 autobiography, very early in his career, for that book, Hitting Back, I think it was called, Hitting Back, suggested it didn't like the shape, didn't like the taste, thought they were pathetic.
The full title of the book was Hitting Back at Bananas, but they trimmed it down because they thought maybe they'd lose some of the audience. As Sabalenka serves at 40-15, backhand reply from Navarro. She's coming in behind the return and she's going to put away an overhead. Well done, 40-30.
That was an impressive point there from Navarro. And you talk about whether this being as rapid as what we saw yesterday. I think Navarro's a player who's got some resilience and got some tricks. And if she can find a way to disrupt her rival, well, we might yet see her get back into this, but it's a challenge so far. It has been one-way traffic.
3-love, 40-30. So the fruit discussion will go on in the background. We won't dedicate the whole day to the discussion of fruit, but quietly, Lady Eleanor, who's very good at this sort of thing, will continue to mark down your votes. And without wishing it to become the dominant theme, we will get an answer at the end of the day as Sabalenka goes 4-love up, and we're going to be replaced.
Is Gigi just calling the police in for the strawberry investigation?
Well, I mean, I'll have to point out the evidence to her because it was very unpleasant earlier today. But the weather's good. I'm passing Lady E the list of selections so far. And Jasmine Paolini is poised to beat Alina Avanesyan on Court Suzanne Longlen. So Lady E and the Empress will keep half an eye on that and also see if somehow Emma Navarro can battle back, having gone 4-love down in less than 20 minutes against Arina Sabalenka.
I've pressed lots of buttons. I've switched courts. I've pressed buttons.
I mean, this, honestly, today we start with the bloodbath caused by Courtney, and then the Empress comes in because Stefan had briefly popped out. You're not allowed to go out of the room. He briefly popped out. She started moving 10 different levers and we're all going off air.
Well, there were lots of alarms.
Did we go off air?
We could have done.
I've been busy finding out how to sort a pineapple out without a knife.
I mean, good luck with that.
Any joy?
There's a video. Watch it. When you've not now, but watch it, and it's juice. So we're going to have to see if Paolini can,
or juice, as it might more appropriately
it
be
might
called.
Come in, but have a look at the video, and that's what I expect you to be doing to that pineapple later in the week.
Okay. Great.
Courtney and Marcus, thank you very much. The fruit is still coming in.
I'm going off to just
Paolini. Sorry, Courtney.
I'm going to be off to be interviewed by the fruit police.
Right. Okay. Excellent news. As Jasmine Paolini goes backhand down the line, back up the line comes Avanesyan. It's juiced. It's 5-1. Paolini looking to book her place in quarterfinals, which she does, bring up a match point. Hour and 52 on the clock for the Italian, who's having a stormer of a year. WTA 1000 champion in Dubai. Doubles champion at the 1000 event in Rome. And now a point away from booking a place in the last eight here, where she would face either Barbara Gracheva or Mira Andreeva. Match point. Actually, no, she'll face Elena Rybakina. There you go. A little bit harder. Match point. Cross court with the backhand, redirected down the line by Evanesian, saves the match point.
Well, I'm glad she wasn't listening at that point.
A little bit hard, wasn't it?
Just a tad.
Just a tad. It's just ratcheted up. Marcus, thank you. It takes Marcus a while to leave because he has so much stuff. Are you leaving the pineapple? Oh, of course you're leaving the pineapple.
He's leaving the pineapple. He's taking all the portable fruit, obviously.
Where's the stale bread finally gone?
No, it's on Stefan's desk. It crawled over there on its own when we weren't looking.
The fact it crawled over there. Yes, Elena Rybakina awaits the winner of the match we're with now. Juice, match point has gone. Paolini with a forehand through the middle of the court, the backhand down the line, the forehand swept cross court to the service line. Marcus is chattering away, and I'm not sure anyone's listening as Paolini brings up match point number two.
I mean, this is after he took the microphone off, just
and
to
he's
be
still
clear.
Talking. Courtney, your sushi must be really tepid and warm and not pleasant now.
I feel like we need to invite the Environmental Health Authorities into week two of Radio Roland Garros.
No, I don't think there's...
I think they'd have a field day.
That sushi must be coming back to life. Match point two for Paolini. Serves down the tee. It's a very deep ball for an Evanesian who hits a double-handed backhand netted. And there we go. We have a quarter-final set. Elena Rybakina will take on Jasmine Paolini for a place in the Roland Garros 2024 semi-finals. Really well done to Jasmine Paolini. I think we're going to hear from her shortly. She's a lovely young lady with a beautiful smile. And boy, is she tearing things up in 2024 as a phone appears through the door. That was slightly weird. And our photo is taken. I think it could be the health authorities.
They listen to every word.
I think they do. We will be heading back to Philippe Chatrier, where it is 4-1 Sabalenka.
And Emma Navarro had a bit of a breakthrough there in winning a game. Got herself on the board in that first set.
Are you taking the
As Marcus piece, and Courtney were telling you, it's been a bit of a rout so far from Sabalenka.
I see. The blackberries are being taken. The warm sushi is leaving. Right, they're off. Elena Evanesian had a really good run to the fourth round. She's been here, done it before at this stage, so really well played to her. We'll be back on Philippe Chatrier very shortly. We've got Daniil Medvedev coming up on Susan Longlin. The afternoon match on Philippe Chatrier is Novak Djokovic against Francisco Cerúndolo. But let's hear Mats Wilander speaking to Jasmine Paolini.
Jasmine, congratulations. You are into your first quarterfinals in a Grand Slam. What's the feeling?
Of course, I'm happy. I'm really happy. Today was a tough match. She's a great player. She played well here last year also. So it was tough. It was tough at the beginning, especially because the conditions are so different from the last few days. But then I think I really did a great job. Yeah.
That's for sure. Yeah. Unbelievable. To me, your heart is so big, I don't know how it can even fit in your body.
It has to be big because I'm so small. But no, I try to fight every point to, to give my 100% and fight. Just do it, yeah.
Yeah. 5-love in the first set for your opponent. Most players will say 6-love, 6-1. You keep fighting and it becomes 5-4. Okay, you lose the first set, but that's when the match changed, don't you think?
Yeah, I was thinking, because I think I was a little bit, let's say, outside of the match. So I was like, try to do one game, then two, three, to get into the match, and then to try to have better sensation on my racket, and I think it went well because the second set I was already, in the match. Yeah.
And you're playing the best tennis of your life and you're 28 years old. What has happened to your tennis in the last few years?
I think I believe more in myself. And of course, winning some matches last year and this year helped me a lot. But, the believing in myself was the key, I think, to do one more step. To play at the higher level. Yeah.
Look like you believe in yourself.
Thank you very much, guys. Thank you for coming and for cheering. Thank you.
Grazie, Jasmine. Thank you very much.
I do love how the players sign off their interviews when they've had enough. They just thank the crowd, they wave, they applaud, and they exit sharp left. So we're going to head back to Philippe Chatrier. as Jasmine Paolini signed some autographs. And I can say good afternoon to Eleanor. Hello again to Stefan. We met, we resisted the boulangeries this morning.
You speak for yourself.
We can't be doing it every morning. Well, I'm speaking for the two of us.
Oh, okay.
We had to resist. We can't. We've decided if we do it every day for 16, 17 days, it'd be a disaster. So we have a quarter final. We have Elena Rybakina against Jasmine Paolini.
And I think they may have to find taller microphones for Jasmina Paolini, because that microphone was somewhere around the bridge of her nose and she was almost having to go on tippy toes to make herself heard. But she's such a genial, engaging personality. I think it's she's a wonderful addition to the fabric of the women's game. And what a year for Italian tennis. What a couple of years for Italian tennis. Obviously, they've had a Grand Slam champion in Jannik Sinner, but it's great to see that they have Italian players really on both sides of the draw, don't they, in terms of men and women. Everywhere you look, there's another Italian player playing entertaining and damaging tennis. We saw Jannik Sinner sort of have a very, very difficult start, didn't he, against Corentin Moutet. Came through, weathered the storm, and in the end was playing very, very well by the end.
I'm not sure if it's an age thing. I don't know if you noticed it too, but things were very loud in our headphones. Do you think that's a hearing issue with Marcus and probably Courtney?
Are you suggesting that at Marcus's age he might need to have a look at his hearing? I'm not sure. I think they just get all overexcited. But yes, I needed to turn my headphones down as well.
Like exceptionally loud. Exceptionally. Right. So we're getting your favourite fruits. We have the pineapple that's going to be awarded to the winner who's closest to being right with both. If someone gets both their picks right, congratulations, one of them, etc., etc. So we have the prize. We have a way of pulling out the spears without using a knife.
Let me give you the leaderboard in the Radio Roland Garros 2024 favourite fruit poll. At the moment, strawberries are leading with 4 votes. Mangoes, blueberries, something I can't read because Marcus has written it. It might be raspberry, it might not. Has 2 votes. But in second place, cherries. Cherries making a run on strawberries at the moment. Very surprised to see no blueberries on this list, I must say.
Oh, yeah, actually.
Grapes,
too.
We've had a couple of votes, but they don't seem to have been written down.
A couple of grapes.
More than one.
What's
a couple
yours?
Of bunches
where's,
of grapes.
Where's your vote going?
Well, because of my love of grape scissors, I feel duty bound to say grapes, but actually it's probably blueberries.
Blueberries, isn't it? Back and return from Emma Navarro mid-court, then loose, slightly off balance from Sabalenka, who's serving at 5-2, love 15 after 29 minutes for the first set. So Rybakina Paolini quarter final. Rybakina leads the head-to-head 2-1, most recently met in Stuttgart. It was under the roof, so even quicker conditions for Rybakina, but that is a tall order for Jasmine Paolini, who started the year as world number 30. She's on the verge of cracking the top 10. Inside in goes Sabalenka. Squash shot Navarro takes the pace off. The slice deep from Sabalenka. And it's wide from the American.
Richard wants to know, how long has Radio Roland Garros been going for? I first tuned in 3 years ago during the COVID quarantine edition, which, as you may remember, was later in the year. It was sort of last week of September, first week of October 2020, and I assumed it had just started.
Oh no.
But someone said last night they'd been listening for 9 years.
Yeah,
also, has it always been the same personnel? My day will not be complete without knowing this information, and I'll hand you over to the Empress for this one.
30-15, 5-2. Let's just see what Sabalenka can do. No, it's been going for many, many years. Serve out wide, the stretch up the line, inside, in, out, forehand, past and back behind Navarro to bring up set points. Let's see if she can close out this set here, then we'll give you some Radio Roland Garros information. Oh, Stefan's off for lunch. How many years have you been doing this, Stefan? Use fingers because I can't read. Oh, have you? Have you?
7 wow. years.
No.
7 years?
No.
10 years?
12, he's saying.
12 years?
Short ball for Sabalenka. She places a drop shot. She wins the set.
Probably feels like longer.
30 minutes. 6-2. A commanding and dominant first set of tennis for Aryna Sabalenka. So Stefan's been here 12 years. I must have been doing it about 15 or so, because I was here before. No, I was here 2 or 3 years before you arrived, Stefan. Yeah. I'm afraid.
It's been going around 15 years.
Because we started just in a little porter cabin with one TV and one headset, and there was two of us. just pressing, just we had one TV screen and we switched our mic on and off, and we had no Stefan for a few years. We did that just moving around little rooms, and then we got different homes, and the team has evolved. Chris has been part of it. There was a couple of years when I don't think Chris did it. There was Nick Lester, myself, and then Chris has been part of it for a long, long time, as has Courtney Nguyen, and yourself and Marcus came in at the COVID Roland Garros. And Sophie, the last handful of years.